Long-time viewers will know that I don't have much time for the gun registry, the Canadian gun registry, the Liberal gun registry. Not because I don't think there is some value in some situations, in some ways, registering the firearms that are out there. That's not my problem. My concern is the way it's done, I think, has been hugely wasteful financially. We've seen that. It's been insulting to law-abiding gun owners across this country. And it's left a very bad taste in the mouth of a great many Canadians. And it's put some power into the hands of other Canadians that perhaps they didn't need to have. Our next guest tonight has been the victim, I think we can use that word, of that power. He spent time in jail for infractions of the Firearms Act, even though he considers himself, and he's going to explain why, a law-abiding Canadian citizen. Bruce Montague is a gunsmith, gun collector, gun activist, and now petitioner to the Supreme Court of Canada, looking to preserve his rights and your rights and mine, too. Bruce, welcome to the program tonight.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Now, I use the phrase law-abiding citizen, and I know you very strongly consider yourself to be a law-abiding citizen. How does a law-abiding citizen end up doing time in jail?
It's rather difficult. It took me 2 years to figure out how to do this. The law that I'm supposedly breaking, I don't consider a valid law. We have a constitutional law, which is supposed to be the supreme law of Canada. That's the law I'm following. Bill C-68, or the Firearms Act that we have right now, is in direct violation of our Constitution in probably about 25 different ways.
So you're not saying, well, this is just a law that I don't like, therefore I don't think it's a good law, therefore I'm not going to obey it. You're saying this is a law that's bad because it contravenes specific statutes in the Constitution.
That's correct. And I'm not just obeying it and being sneaky about it. This is a time-honored tradition that if you don't like a law, you can challenge it. And this is a way that I'm choosing to challenge it. I'm doing it openly. There's no victims. I'm just openly disobeying the registration and the licensing to try to get this challenged in the court system.
So you're saying to such authorities as may be listening, I had firearms. I'm not going to register them. I want you to know that.
Right.
Then what happened?
Well, we tried to, there's a group of us that tried to get ourselves charged under the Firearms Act for 2 years now. And they've been ignoring us.
Now, in what sense ignoring you? What are you doing to provoke them, but to move them to action?
Well, on January 1st, 2003, as you might recall, we marched on Parliament Hill with a firearm, just the receiver part, that's the legal part of the firearm. We didn't want to make ourselves look offensive. So we were technically breaking the law. They ignored us. They wouldn't charge us under the Act. Since then, we've traveled across the country to every capital, bringing evidence in, videotaped evidence, affidavits stating that we're in contravention of the law, asking the Attorney General of that province to arrest us and charge us. We've been ignored time and time again. Now, last year, after the McGuinty government got in, they proclaimed that they would be enforcing the law, and I'm living proof of that. They decided to enforce it.
So, are you happy now that they've done this?
Yeah, so to speak. Mm-hmm. This is really quite an honor to have the opportunity to be an active part in our Canadian political and legal system, to try to make some meaningful changes in this country.
Now, you know that there are lots of people out there who are watching you tonight who are thinking to themselves, I don't know what this guy's talking about. I think we need a gun registry here. I think we have to get these guns off the streets. People are getting shot all the time, and the government's doing the right thing. What do you say to those folks?
Well, the people that are getting shot all the time are being shot by people who we already know who they are, the criminal element. Why are they focusing on Uncle Joe's duck gun? The common average people like you and I are not the problem. They already know who the problem people are. Look at the four RCMP officers that were murdered by Roscoe, I think his name was. He already had a prohibition against him for owning firearms. Mm-hmm. That didn't slow him down, did it? It makes a lot of sense, and most people understand that a simple piece of paper beside your gun isn't going to stop somebody from committing a crime with it.
But there are people out there, you and I both know it, who really, they want all the guns taken away. They don't think anybody should have a gun. If nobody had a gun, nobody would get shot.
That's what they think. It's wishful thinking. It's unfortunate. There's been many studies done in this area. Professor Gary Mauser out of Simon Fraser University did a very good peer-reviewed study in this area. And it proves quite conclusively that the firearms laws that we have today do nothing to improve public safety. As a matter of fact, it does the exact opposite. Now, we haven't got enough time to delve into it right now, but there's many good, solid reasons for why crime rate does go up when you prohibit firearms ownership. And in a nutshell, I guess what it is you're taking guns away from the good people. you're not affecting the crooks, so you've got an imbalance of power.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We will return Bruce Montague as our guest tonight, and we're going to find out a little bit more about his state to hold the government accountable for their folly and to ensure that our protections, the protections that we're entitled to under the Constitution, are extended to us the way they ought to be. Stay with us. More to come tonight on our program, where your constitutional protections are always uppermost in our mind. What do you think of that? Bruce Montague is our guest. We're talking about Canada's gun control legislation. Bruce, the Liberal government has spent over $1 billion now, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on this. Experts tell us that there's still significant numbers of people out there, and again, law-abiding people, who have not registered their guns. In all the research that you've done, all the talking to officials and so on, do you get any sense as to how far they think this can go? I mean, we get the sense, lay people get the sense, that the government is absolutely committed, the Liberals are committed to this, and they're going to take it as far as it has to go, however far that may be, and hang the cost. What do you think is really going on there? Do you think, some people have suggested it's just inertia, they don't quite know how to get off this tiger that they're riding?
For a while, I kind of thought that too, that they're trying to figure out a way of getting out from underneath it, but they've had opportunities to get out from it before, and opportunities to do it and still save face. They haven't done it. I think they are committed, come hell or high water. They're going ahead with it. They're still spouting all these lies of the high compliance rates we've got. We met with Wayne Easter when he was the Solicitor General in 2003, and he told us to our face that he knows the government figures are bogus, and they're slanted and skewed very heavily to make it look like there's mass compliance. The reason I'm so brave to say that like this is because we taped the conversation with him so we can back it up. It's propaganda. It's propaganda warfare that's going on here. I think that they're seriously committed to disarming all Canadians. If you look at the trend of the way these firearms laws are happening, they're doing a divide and conquer. They keep prohibiting different classes of firearms, and they're working their way all the way up to the single-shot shotgun.
So where does this leave you then? Now they have finally noticed you, officially noticed you.
That's right.
They arrested you. They put you in jail. They ransacked your home for 36 hours. They went through your house.
The first time around was 36 hours.
What were they looking for that would take them 36 hours when you'd already said I have guns and they're not registered?
Well, they couldn't find them all. I had them securely hidden or stored. And it took them a while to find them. They couldn't find them. I eventually told them where they were.
So where does that leave you now? What do you do now? They know who you are. They recognize you. You're the guy who says, no, I'm not following your law. I think it's unconstitutional. What happens now?
Well, right now we're heading to the courts. We're hopeful to get a court case starting this fall, but the Crown's dragging their feet on it. They still haven't given us full disclosure on their case yet. So we're hoping maybe this winter we might get a court date started.
So you're hoping at this point that they simply prosecute you on this charges they've laid, and then out of that prosecution you will attempt to build a pulpit where you can speak to the country.
That's right. We're expecting to do a constitutional challenge. You've got to go to the Supreme Court of Canada. We're expecting our first court case to go fairly well. It's going to be more of a legal court case. Once we start to go through the appeal processes, we're more expecting it to be a political court
case. So you're assuming you're going to lose the first one?
The first one, I'm assuming we're going to win. It's the appeals to the Supreme Court that we're afraid that we may lose if we don't have a change in political will in this country.
So who's going to appeal it, though? I mean, if you win, you can't appeal anything.
That's right. And there is a danger that and that's something we're talking with a lawyer, that there's some benefit to actually losing on the first one. That way the ball's in our court and we can appeal it. We suspect the Crown would probably appeal it anyway because it has a lot of ramifications, and we're in Ontario.
Yes.
Ontario rules the country.
Yes.
So it'll be a very important case. We suspect they probably would appeal it.
These things tend to get expensive. Who's going to pay for it?
I'm hoping all the Canadians that are concerned about their rights and freedoms are going to pay for it. I certainly can't pay for it. I've done this as a leap of faith that all the people that are affected by this ill-conceived law would pitch in and support it. I'm doing this on behalf of all firearms owners, and I will do my level best to stick to the principles of the case and get this law defeated in the court system. But I need support.
Well, Bruce, I can't do anything but wish you the best of luck on it, because like you, I think the law is a joke and it is not accomplishing anything like they tell us they want it to accomplish. I think there are other agendas at work here, as you've outlined.
Right.
And I don't think they bode well for this, the future of this country. Thank you so much for coming. We're going to stay in touch, and we'll keep letting our viewers know what's going on with your case. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Bruce Montague with us tonight, and we will follow his case and keep you posted on what's happening. Return in a moment or two. We're going to talk back, the focus back to the provincial government again. E-testing, they're talking about eliminating e-testing, or are they? A well-known local mechanics, not mechanic, can't say that anymore, automotive technician is going to join us and explain what he knows about the situation. Stay with us, and we'll be back with more.